Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. And I just want to lift up the first three verses of the 12th chapter, the book of Hebrews. And I want to use as our subject tonight, does your faith, I want to raise a question, does your faith have enduring power? Does your faith have enduring power? Many, many years ago when I was a senior in high school, we didn't have a track team. And the basketball team decided that rather than the school not have a track team, we would become the track team. Now, what I learned in my senior year is that the kind of shape that you needed to be in to play basketball did not translate over into the kind of shape you have to be in to actually run track. I was fast. Oh man, I could run. I was fast on a basketball court. I could outrun folk dribbling the ball. I could outrun them. And so they decided to make me a 100 and 200 yard dash runner. And I could hold my own in the 100. I did all right, but we had this big track meet and a friend of mine that I knew was running for the other team, and he happened to be the state champion for the 200 meters, Pastor Ricks. And I told the fellas, I said, I'm gonna whip him. 200 yards, I can get him. And of course, practicing wasn't one of my big things. I sort of was social doing practice, and I spent a lot of my time instead of running sprints and running 400s. I spent a lot of my time running my mouth. And so the day came, this big track event, and all my friends and his friends had gathered around. The track was just packed with folk up and down the track. And I don't know whether it was the sun or what, but when we got into the starting blocks, I knew I was in trouble, because as I looked down that black tar, I could see, I guess it was gases coming up, and it sort of psychologically messed with me. But I said, I'm gonna whip him. The guy's name was James Dowdy. I said, I'm gonna whip James today. And so we all got down, and when I came out the blocks, oh Lord have mercy. I came out the blocks and I left James behind me. I mean, I came from zero to full speed. I forgot I had 200 yards to run, but I was giving it my all in that first 100. What I didn't know is James was just lagging behind me. I was getting it everything I had. And about 130 yards into the run, something jumped on my back. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't there when I started, and I felt like I was running in mud. I mean, I was moving everything, but wasn't nothing going nowhere. And all these years later, do you know I never finished that race. Everybody went past me. I mean, I could see folk just flying past me. And when I got near the finish line, the folk had stopped adding up the other folks' time in the race. That's how slow I was getting up to the finish line. Won't nobody even there no more to get my time. So officially, here it is, 2019, and I never finished a race that I started in 1973. I hadn't finished it officially yet. And they've torn the school down, so I can't go back out there. And I know some of you are wondering, Pastor, why are you sharing this? Well, we're in a race. And the race that we're in requires endurance. In chapter 11 of this epistle, the writer has taken his time to name people who have demonstrated great faith in their walk with the Lord. And then his mind starts to realize that there are so many acts of faith that he could not possibly name them all. And so he just included groups of people who demonstrated faith in the coming of Messiah, who lived, as he said, having obtained a good testimony through faith, but who did not receive the promise. And I want you to pay attention to what he says in the 40th verse of the 11th chapter. God, having provided something better for us. Think about that. That these folk died never having received the promise, but they had obtained a good testimony through the faith they demonstrated in their lives. But God provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. I want you to think about this. God gave promises that caused them to say, I would rather suffer indignities in this life because of the promises that God has given me for my life. And in spite of never having received the promise, they endured all manner of hardship, to the point some of them died being martyred, eaten by lions. Some suffered all manner of torture. God gave Abraham a son of promise and then turned around and told Abraham to offer that son to him as a sacrifice. The Bible records that Abraham did what God told him to do, having concluded that God would be able to raise Isaac up, never having seen or heard anybody being raised up from death. He concluded that if God was going to keep his promise, that God would raise up this boy when I offered him as a sacrifice. Why? Because his mind, his focus was God. God promised me this. And the one thing I know about God is that God is faithful to his word. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't want to sit here trying to figure that out. That's God's business. But the God who promised through Isaac has now commanded me to offer him up to him. And how he's going to fix this thing is his business. And we don't find out until we get to Hebrews 11 that Abraham had concluded. He had come to the conclusion that in order for God to be faithful to his word, it was on God to raise up. And they died, never having received the promise. Because God has provided something better for us, so that their salvation could not be completed until we were made perfect along with them. And then the writer turns his attention to that which might be familiar to the recipients of the letter. He says, therefore, we, those of us who have put our hope, our trust in Jesus, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now let me say this. It's not the folk, Abraham and them, not up in heaven looking at us. That's not what the writer is talking about as the great cloud of witnesses. Well, what the writer is talking about is their testimonies. Their testimonies of enduring everything they had to endure, having not received the promise. Now that we've got the better. Now that God has done something better for us, we also, since we got this cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with, there's that word, endurance, the race that is set before us. I was talking with Pastor in the study, and I asked him, how do you feel after 30 years of pouring your all into the lives of the many people you've been blessed to touch? How do you feel when you've given God everything that God has given you an ability to give him, and you look around at where we are today? It can be a difficult task, because it's not easy getting up week after week after week after week, preparing to feed people the word of God. And folk have jumped into the race, being prepared like I was in 1973, running my race. A lot of folk come in church and they come in and they take off. Man, you look down the track and they fly. And it's impressive, especially when you got folk on the sideline kind of rooting them on. But then they run into all of the obstacles that the enemy place on the track. You know, the person who gets on your nerve because they looked at you funny. They in church, they had the audacity to not speak to me. Did you see what they were wearing in church? We can't go to no church like that with folk like, yeah, I like the pastor, but or materialism. You know, if you work every Sunday, I'll bless you with this, this, and that. And I mean, you can check in to church every now and then, but don't take all that. And you need vacation time, you need time to spend with your family, and you need time to do this and time to do that. Well, the writer knew that there were folk in the church who were looking like they were running the race, but who were ill prepared for the race. You see, we enjoy running when it doesn't cause our heart to beat too heavy and breath to seem like it's about to leave your body. I can run. I used to shadow box with a friend of mine in the military who was a boxer. You know, in 3 minutes. What's 3 minutes? And I told him the only rule was you can't hit me now. I couldn't hit him, but I told him don't hit me in my face now. Because it's gonna turn to something other than boxing if you hit me in my face. I couldn't hit him. I tried to hit him. But you know, 3 minutes is a long time. You know, you see them boxing, they moving around and they just jabbing and going on and look good to you, you know. And you stand there and you 3 minutes. Or somebody hitting on you and you trying to move. At about a minute and 45 seconds, you know, stuff start getting funny when you don't have a lot of wind. And so what happens is folk get into church and they feel good about the church and life is good and all of a sudden they meet a rude member. They meet somebody who not acting very Christian-like. And they decide we ain't staying in this church. Or life gets busy on the outside and now you gotta make time for God. Now remember, all the time you get comes from God, but now here you are on the other side making time for the God who gives you all the time you got. And so the writer says, we've got all of this witness being revealed to us of all of the hardships that folk had to endure. And God has done something better for us than they had. They died without the promise looking forward. But we get in the race having received the promise. We don't have to wait for the promise. I'm already saved, sanctified, and filled with the Spirit of God. I'm already in heaven. I ain't waiting to go to heaven. I'm already in heaven. Paul says to the saints in Ephesians,
that the moment we believed, God sealed us. So we ain't got to wait on this thing. He turned around and told the Colossian saints that you've already been delivered out of darkness into the glorious light of the Son of His love. We're not waiting to be delivered. It's already. That means I already know that when my time here is up, I know I'm heaven bound. The only way I can miss heaven is heaven does not exist. And I know heaven exists. So I'm already heaven bound. Why, Richardson? Because my name is already written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know that I've been covered by the blood. I ain't dying wondering when he gonna show up. He's already shown up. And so the writer says, since you got that cloud of witness, since God has done something better for you, lay aside all that stuff and the sin which so easily ensnares us. I don't care who you are now. I've known Pastor Rick. We went to school together. I've known him. I've known his dedication. I know his heart. I ain't saying he's a perfect man. Ain't none of us perfect. But you're talking about a heart for the Lord, the things of God. Can you imagine waking up day after day, preparing, dealing with folk in their sickness, in their deaths, dealing with all manner of stuff? For 30 years, you've got to have some endurance, because there's been a lot of waste that were intended to destroy that you got to get up on Sunday morning and come preach anyhow. And so the writer says, in light of their ability to endure, now that God has equipped us with what we need, let us lay aside every weight and the sin of unbelief, the sin of discouragement that so easily ensnares us, because it doesn't take a lot. That's why we talk about people with church hurt, because it does not take a lot for folk to be hurt in church. And if you are not trained, disciplined, prepared through the Word of God, you will run from one church to another.
I've said this, the church in the United States since its establishment has never been biblical in its perspective. We have been a people who are more in alignment with the enemies of the cross than we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's been our MO from the time that we've been established as a church in the United States. And so what happens is Satan uses our love for dust that looks like us to call us to support those things that are near and dear to them than to serve the one true and living God. And so when we want to teach people spiritual warfare, It's easy to get discouraged when you see folk flocking to where, as the folk, the Hebrew folk in Egypt, who had been set free, got to the promised land and decided that the promised land won't for them. So they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to stone Moses and them two clowns with him. And we're going to get us some leaders who are going to take us back to Egypt. The church in the United States is mimicking those folk who got to the edge of the promised land and decided they wanted them some leaders who were going to take them where they wanted to go. Now, when your leader is taking you where you want to go, who the leader? Huh? Amen, somebody. And so he wants to encourage them because he knows that all of us are going to experience some hardships, but they're not always the kinds of hardships that we think of. Sometimes our hardship is making a decision between our allegiance to our brother or our sister or somebody that we dearly love and our allegiance to Christ. Sometimes it can be two good choices, but one of them takes me away from being engaged in ministry. And the other will allow me to be engaged in ministry. Neither one sin in and of itself. It's just one provides an opportunity for me to serve the Lord. The other just allows me to talk about my desire to serve the Lord. It can happen. We find ourselves having to make choices on a daily basis. But then in verse 2, the writer says something, and I said I won't hold you long. I just want you to look at this. He says, first of all, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So all of us got a race that we got to run if we are in Christ. But what he says to us is that it is necessary to have endurance for the race because of all of the things we are going to encounter during the race. Now, how do we build up endurance for the race? He said that in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. You see, the word looking is deeper than we tend to make it in our Western understanding of the definition of looking. What he's saying is that you've got to look at the life of Jesus. Yes, you got to examine the life of Jesus, but you got to look not with your physical eyes, but with your mind. Yeah. If you start looking at the life of Jesus, you might be impressed with the things that Jesus did, but it is only your mind that can comprehend the depth of who Jesus really, really is. And it has to be a mind that is under the control of God, the Holy Spirit. That you don't ever hear folks saying, renew your brain. The Bible talks about us renewing our minds. Your mind and your brain are not one and the same. Your brain is always informed by your mind. Your mind is informed by your nature. What the writer is saying is that if you're just going to look at Jesus through your natural lens,
You're not going to get who Jesus is and all that Jesus has done. It takes the Holy Spirit taking control of your mind. And then when the Holy Spirit has control of your mind will inform your brain and everything else about you will be informed. But we got too many folk in church looking with their old nature at Jesus. And they feel some kind of way about Jesus, but I don't know if I feel enough about Jesus to really train to run 200 yards. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm already fast. I got some things going for me, so I don't have to train. And when I get in the race, I realize that because I'm not equipped to run the race. I just fall to the side when that gorilla get on my back and life gets difficult and I just stop running. The folk ain't paying no attention no way to me on the track. I doubt if anybody wrote that Richardson guy that was in that race, you know he didn't finish. And here it is, 20. Ain't nobody looking for me, even though I didn't finish the race. They didn't even make it a side note that there was one runner. We just have fun with it when I get with my friends now, and we talk about some of our exploits. But that's as far as it goes. Nothing hung in the balance except my pride. The fact that I lost because I wasn't prepared. Everybody who trained with me knew I wasn't prepared. And so they didn't expect me to finish. But when we come in church and we're sitting in church and we're listening to the word Sunday after Sunday and we're getting the word and we're hitting and missing sometimes, there is an expectation that when stuff happens in your life, you're going to be able to endure, to keep pushing in spite of.